By the time I was 12 years old, I had started smoking pot, and I continued to abuse substances progressively more and more. I quickly found myself at 21 years old facing life without the possibility of parole for first-degree murder. You know, with an addict's life, if they have periods of sobriety, it's typically when a person goes back to it, it's not just the same, it's even deeper.
Welcome to today's episode of Falling to Freedom, where addiction ends and faith begins, the weekly podcast that brings thoughtful, informed, and challenging discussions about addiction to the forefront of everyone's minds. We join our host now, Chad Lacombe, for today's topic.
Welcome to this episode of Falling to Freedom. I'm your host, Chad Lacombe. In this episode, I want to do really three things. I want to give you the vision behind this podcast. Now, why did we start this podcast? What's the hope for this podcast and the reach of this podcast and those that it might help? Two, I want to give you the background of why we started the podcast, why I even feel like I need to speak on this issue. And three, I want to give you a look at some of the topics that'll be coming up, some of the guests, and things that you can expect from this podcast. So let me just start with the vision for the podcast. So addiction is a growing problem. I mean, anybody that is casually observing the news, no doubt in your own families, extended families, and communities, you've seen a rise of addiction among young people, even among females, and it just seems to be out of control. We have a saying that addiction is a whole of society problem. And what we mean by that is that addiction not only affects the addict, but it affects the addict's family, it affects the addict's friends, it affects the addict's community and those resources of that community, and even society as a whole. It's everywhere, and it affects all facets of society. We also have another saying that addiction is the dirty little secret that every family deals with, but nobody wants to talk about. And what we mean by that is maybe not every single person or every single family has someone right there in their immediate family dealing with addiction, but you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that if they don't have someone in their immediate family, then certainly in their extended family or close circle of friends that has dealt with addiction or is dealing with addiction. The problem with addiction is it causes guilt, it causes shame. It's not the type of thing that people want to talk about. And so they keep it hidden. People that are going through this may think that they're the only ones going through it, or that families are the only ones with children or siblings or even parents that are dealing with this, but that's just not the case. This issue is so widespread that we believe just about every family has some personal connection to it. And so the discussion of addiction is relevant to everybody and couldn't be more important to have than today. Anyone that has experienced addiction personally or been close to someone with addiction knows the devastation that it can cause. The selfish, self-centered nature of addiction causes a person that would otherwise be selfless, funny, personable, fun to be around, to be secluded, self-destructive, and only thinking and caring about themselves. It's often described as, I don't even know the person that I'm dealing with. This isn't the person that I know. And people do become different people. And, you know, the paths into addiction are varied. Yeah, sometimes it's somebody that's got trauma and they are trying to mask that trauma. That's certainly true. But it's not just that. There's a lot of people that, in a desire to party and have fun, get mixed up in things that spiral out of control. Sometimes there's peer pressure that will cause a person to get into things that maybe they wouldn't otherwise. And then there's even people that have legitimate reasons to take prescription drugs and find themselves bound by an opiate addiction that spirals into something else. So, you know, the path to addiction is not just one lane. There's many paths to it. And it's not only one ethnic group. It's not only one socioeconomic group. It's not only one profession. When it comes to addiction, it's everyone. And, you know, as we talk to more and more people, we see that it's not just the person that might be living in low-income housing, but it's the rich as well. It's not just the person that's struggling to find a job. It's also professionals, law enforcement, military, government officials. I mean, it's across the board. You probably just don't hear about those as much because they don't want it to be exposed. But the reality is that it's everywhere. And so our heart in having this podcast was really to open up that discussion, to start to have conversations with not only addicts, but family members of those addicts as well. And sometimes the outcome was tragic, and the loss of a life, and the pain that those people feel for that loss. And it is a tragedy. And so we want to talk to people. We want to expose these things. We want to share in their grief and their pain so that hopefully someone else can learn from it and not have to experience that. But we also want to talk to subject matter experts, people that are not necessarily the addict or the family, but are affected by it nonetheless. And this could be law enforcement. This could be mental illness, dealing with homelessness, domestic violence. There's a lot of different ways that addiction affects society. And it's our belief that if we want to tackle the big issues in society, let's just take homelessness for one example. There's no doubt that homelessness is out of control and on rise, especially in some notable big cities. And governments, legislators, even, you know, many well-intentioned people want to try and address the problem. The issue is, you know, better than 90% of long-term homelessness involves addiction. And so if you truly want to address the homelessness issue, then you're going to have to also address substance abuse or addiction. You can't just throw housing at the problem and think that's going to solve it. You know, we've tried that to no avail. Also, crime. Crime is on the rise. And not that every crime is drug related, but there's a large portion of crimes that are committed by people that are either trying to support their addiction, or because they were not in the right minds, they did things that they normally would not have done. So again, like homelessness, if you want to address crime, then you also have to address this issue of substance abuse. Not to mention all of the other side effects, you know, the lack of young women wanting to be in the workforce, productive members, because they'd rather use substances. This issue is broad. It affects every area of life, and we want to have conversations with people to open it up to where people can, in the safety of their own home or on their phones or wherever they're at, start to be educated about this, to be encouraged that they're not alone, and to know that there's actual solutions out there. And so that's the last part of the vision for it, is hopefully for people that are in the midst of this, that are bound by addiction, that they realize that there's options out there and what those options are, and people can get the help that they need. Again, realizing that they're not alone in this struggle, and there's people that want to come alongside. So that's the vision for the podcast. We believe it's not just for addicts. It's not just for people that are related to addicts, but for everyone. Even for legislators that are considering passing legislation to deal with these issues, they're going to want to hear the conversations that are happening so that they can make decisions or propose laws that are based on reality and not what people may assume, their presuppositions about substance abuse and addiction. The background for the podcast really comes from my own story. You know, I grew up in a middle-class home in Orange County, had a very normal childhood. I was involved in things that, you know, involved outdoors and adventures, and I raced bicycles. I was into motorcycles and, you know, just a bunch of different things. But, you know, my personality was typically fearless about most things. I guess as I get older, that is changing slightly. But, you know, this could be a strength in some aspects, but it could also be a great weakness in others. I would find myself doing things that most people wouldn't do. Well, by the time I was 12 years old, I had started smoking pot. The type of person I was, I always wanted to hang out with older kids. And so I found myself involved with people doing things that, you know, were not typical of kids my age. By the time I was 13 years old, I was unfortunately arrested for my first Grand Theft Auto. Not that I was a big time car thief, but I just didn't want to walk. This started my journey on recognizing that, you know, substance abuse and my own use and addiction was a problem. And this is relevant because, you know, I would be find myself in 30 and 60 day dry out programs. I would find myself going to AA and NA programs. And these things might have a short-term benefit, but never did it have any long-term benefit in my life. And it's not a, you know, a slap to those things. I wasn't at that place. And I continued to abuse substances progressively more and more. By the time I was 15 years old, I found myself using methamphetamine, and in fact, pretty quickly progressed to using needles and shooting methamphetamine. This, you know, today might not be that big of a shocker for kids nowadays because they're doing a lot of crazy things, but you know, when I was 15 years old, there were not many kids my age doing those things. And so it took me down a dark path that had me doing things that I never thought were possible. And by the time I was late into 15 years old, I picked up my second Grand Theft Auto. And so the second time, they weren't as lenient and were considering sending me to youth authority, but instead they decided to send me to a long-term residential drug treatment program called the Phoenix House. And so I went there, had a bumpy start, ended up running away initially, going back because I was on probation. And that second time when I went back, I actually, you know, completed the program. It was, you know, a year of residential treatment program. It was not faith-based at all. And at the time, you know, I had no understanding of God or faith or anything. I considered myself to be agnostic. I thought faith was for weak people that wanted answers to the unknown. And so I consider myself very smart by not believing in those types of things. But I would later find out, and I'll share, you know, that, you know, you can't escape truth. And you can deny it, but you can't escape it. And it became the thing eventually that made all the difference in my life and the change in my life. But at 15, I graduated this program. I got out. I went back to high school for a short period. And the signs of decay were already there. And eventually I found myself not able to go to school in a normal situation. Left school. Pretty soon I was abusing substances again. I was 17 at the time. Ended up going to like a continuation school. Got my GED. Things began to, you know, go downhill even further. And one thing about, you know, an addict's life is you will, if you do that long enough, you're going to burn all the bridges in your life. You may have a lot of good opportunities to do things, but your substance abuse is eventually going to cause you to burn those bridges and destroy those opportunities. And that was certainly the case with my life. I got to a point where I incorrectly assumed that I just needed to get away from those friends and that environment, and if I could change my location, that would change everything. Well, that led me to enlist in the Navy. So I went into the Navy and did good for a while, was off of the drugs, was off everything, and that only lasted for, you know, a year. And those old thoughts came back, and I found myself eventually using again, which at that time in the early 90s, there was pretty much a zero tolerance policy for drugs. And so after getting in trouble for substance abuse several times, they basically kicked me out of the Navy, and I don't blame them for doing that. I wasn't ready for the responsibility and the challenge of that at the time. And so what could have been a good thing, you know, ended. And I realized that my location meant nothing. I could be anywhere in the world. And the problem was still there because the problem was within me. There's a saying, funny saying, that says, no matter where you go, there you are. So if you're the problem, it doesn't matter where you go. You're not going to be able to escape it because you are the problem. And for addicts, we will be able to find, you know, what we want, no matter where we're at. We're going to be that determined to follow through on it. And so subsequent to being discharged from the Navy, I again got involved with older people and actually started manufacturing methamphetamine. And this, you know, took me even further down that path. You know, with an addict's life, if they have periods of sobriety, it's typically when a person goes back to it, it's not just the same, it's even deeper. It just gets deeper and deeper. And the things that you never thought possible when you started, say, drinking or smoking pot, you now find yourself doing things that you thought were impossible. And it can be a very dark, it can be a very ugly place in life. And so this is where I was. My heart was being hardened. My feelings were becoming very calloused, and I was very selfish and self-centered. And this eventually led me into a situation that involved a robbery and the death of an individual. I was 21 years old at the time, and I quickly found myself at 21 years old facing life without the possibility of parole for first-degree murder with a special circumstance. Talk about an eye-opener. Life hitting you square in the face. Well, it did. And the result of that, thankfully, I didn't get the life sentence, and I ended up getting 15 years. And so I went to prison for a very long time as a very young man. And, you know, while in prison, my substance abuse continued. Most people might be shocked to know that you can get plenty of drugs in prison. And so my meth addiction turned into a heroin addiction. My life turned into one of politics within prisons. I started out on what's called a level 4 maximum security 180 yard. I was 22 years old, scared, but a survivor. And in order to survive mentally, I used more drugs. In order to survive physically, I got involved with the politics and the gangs involved in there. After about 4 years, I had a moment of clarity where I believe the Lord showed me what I was doing to my life and what the outcome was going to be if something didn't change. And also at that time, he allowed me to see a gentleman that I used to do a lot of drugs with in prison do a 180-degree turn. And I didn't know. I knew he was a different person, not just sober. I mean, there was something different about him. And all I knew is that he had started going to church. And so for me, that began my journey of faith, where I opened myself up to the possibility that God was real and maybe he could do something in my life as well. And so for my last 9 years in prison, I began a journey with the Lord and began serving the Lord and allowing the Lord to transform my heart and my mind and just change the way I thought from being this selfish, self-centered, immature kid to having a correct perspective on life and understanding that it's not just about me, but there's other people involved. And there was a lot of ugliness that the Lord had to root out and is still rooting out. I mean, we're all a work in progress. I mean, honestly, the first 4 years in prison, I did 13 straight. The first 4 years seemed like an eternity. The last nine went much quicker. And it was all because of a difference in perspective in my heart and in my mind. But I paroled in 2009, and at that point began the next chapter of my life. Now, why this is relevant to the podcast is prior to going to prison, I was in and out of a lot of drug rehabs. I was in and out of a lot of treatment options. And all of them, you know, were secular. None of them seemed to really, you know, have any lasting effect on me. When I got out, I got involved with some Christ-centered, faith-based programs and saw how they operated. And, you know, this eventually led me to a point where I saw the value in both, right? I saw the value of the secular programs being in the practical things that they provide. And I saw the faith-based programs being the strength of those programs and being getting to the heart of the problem, a spiritual problem within people. And the Lord had given me a vision to bring those two things together. And at that time, we started Fully Restored Ministries, which is a long-term faith-based residential program that, you know, starts with a foundation in Christ, works through a large portion of that one-year minimum commitment towards changing behaviors, getting rid of those old things and learning new ones, and just becoming that different person, learning work ethic, being a responsible person. But then it goes into a third phase that includes practical equipping, right? Where we want to pour into either educational or vocational training for men. So when they leave, they actually have some purpose and some direction. Well, alongside that ministry came this podcast. And this podcast is, like I said, intended to just have raw, open conversations with people about this topic. And so my past and all of my experiences that I went through shaped my desire and the calling upon my life to be involved in this. And so I feel unfortunately uniquely qualified to be able to have these conversations and have them across the board. And, you know, I am certainly not proud of my past and the things that have happened, nor is anyone that has lived those types of lives. But I know that that is not me anymore, and I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be a part of helping people to not be bound by that anymore and to find freedom and to be able to enjoy the blessings of life, to be able to have a family, to be able to have a job, to enjoy going outside and recreation and just the simple pleasures of life that, you know, are often missed. Even if someone doesn't go to prison, just that lifestyle, you're so narrow focused, such tunnel vision that you miss out often on a lot of the best parts of life. And we want to help people to not be bound by that, but to find freedom. Now, the third part of this podcast is intended to, you know, give you the picture of some of the guests and some of the topics that we want to discuss. You know, if you're just watching this first episode and seeing if this is something that you want to continue to watch, we want you to have an idea of the things that are going to be on. So we're certainly going to have episodes with real stories, sometimes raw stories of people that have gone through addiction and have come out on the other side. You know, those are important to help people understand, you know, where someone is coming from. So for the person that maybe is still struggling with those things and watches one of these testimonials, they can be encouraged that they don't have to be there anymore, that there is a way out, that that doesn't have to be their final outcome. But also for people that maybe have no exposure with addiction, for them to understand that these are real people as well. And, you know, the stereotypical drug addict and who that person is and why they started using isn't always correct. And so it's important to understand that, you know, very normal people often find themselves in that world and unable to get out of it. So it helps with compassion. It helps with empathy and understanding to hear these stories. And I mean, everyone loves a story of redemption anyway. So, you know, these are definitely going to be a part of it. But because addiction not only affects the addict, but it affects their families as well, we're going to have situations where we'll have family members that can share from their perspective. And sometimes that end was tragic and ended in the loss of a life. And these are not easy discussions to have and easy topics, but it is a reality. And again, with those things, it's meant to bring encouragement and hope to parents that may be living with a struggling addict, and give them things, tools, and experiences that might help them so that the end doesn't have to be the same. We're also going to have subject matter experts. So, you know, not just personal testimonies or family members sharing tragic events, but those people in the community that are also affected by this, but maybe not in the same way. So we want to have people that run homeless centers to share about the reality that addiction, substance abuse, is a large part of long-term homelessness. And being able to hear someone firsthand that is involved in that world is powerful. And suggestions about, you know, where we go from here if we truly want to deal with that. On that same line is law enforcement. Having people that are involved with law enforcement that can share the dirty realities and the tragic events that happen that are centered around addiction, substance abuse, narcotics trafficking, manufacturing, all of these things. And even sometimes where people within the law enforcement first responder community find themselves bound in these things. Sometimes it's trauma related and they find using substances as a way to cope with the trauma that they're feeling, the PTSD. And so we will have guests on here that will be talking about that from a provider perspective and even personal experience perspective. We're going to have people on here that are going to be talking about domestic violence or unwanted pregnancies because of a lifestyle, you know, a free and unresponsible lifestyle that often goes with addiction. We want to have people on here that are going to be talking about from a clinical side. What is the psychology behind addiction? And on that topic, you know, addiction broadens out beyond just substances. Now, yeah, that's the primary focus. But when we start getting into addiction, we're going to find that there's addictions out there that people are dealing with that don't fit that substance abuse model, whether it's gambling. It could be the phone you hold in your hand. I mean, there's a huge addictive aspect to social media and scrolling and these types of activities that really trigger the same areas of a person's brain as using substances. Sex addiction is another one that people can be bound. In this culture that we live in today, it's a huge thing that binds people, but because it's more socially acceptable, it's not often talked about, but it's just as destructive in its end result. And so we want to have people that are going to be talking about these things. We'd like to have people talk about fentanyl specifically. So fentanyl has been, you know, since I think maybe 2012, 2013, just exploded. It's a major cause of deaths in this country. The difference between fentanyl and heroin. Why is our communities being flooded with this drug? And how dangerous is it? So we want to have people that can speak not only on the effects of it, but maybe even on the pharmaceutical side and the differences between this drug and others. And so there's a wide range of topics. We're open to, you know, anywhere that this can go. And we anticipate that it will spider web out, that as we speak to people and have conversations on topics, that other things are going to happen. We're going to be learning right along with everyone else. Me or anyone else on the team, we don't claim to have all the answers to understand this, but that's the power in something like this, that as we have conversations with people, our minds are opened up to the different aspects of it, the different way it affects people, the different paths that people have gotten to that same place. And so we're going to be learning right along the way. We're confident that other topics will become clear, that we need to talk about them. We anticipate other guests through connections with people that have come on that would be great guests to have on and topics to discuss. And so we're excited about where this could go. We're grateful that you're here at least watching this first episode. We hope that you'll continue to grow with us. I have no doubt that the content, the conversations, and even the production in process and post-production will improve with time. So if it's a topic that you're interested in, give us a chance. Continue with us on this journey, and we hope to provide content that will not only inform you, open your eyes to things, but encourage you that there's hope out there. So thank you again for watching this episode with us. We look forward to having more with you in the future.
Thank you for being a part of this much needed conversation as we expose the raw truths about addiction. Don't forget to like, follow, and most importantly, share. Remember, addiction is the dirty little secret that every family deals with, but nobody wants to talk about.